what's your favorite Christmas carol, I think most days this is the one that will pop up in my mind, my list, as a favorite Christmas carol. And a Christmas Eve service is never complete without singing Joy to the World. As far as I'm concerned, we can sing it every Sunday at Advent, Joy to the World. We did already sing it. The Christmas message is a message of joy. Like the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. So I feel it's my responsibility here today to put you in touch with joy. And there are many ways that people experience joy, and singing and music is a natural component of joy. When you're really happy, you feel like singing, right? And so as I was planning this this service, you always have a mental image of what's going to happen in the service, and I have this vision of all of you just being so caught up with joy, so filled with joy. And I thought I would start to kind of call forth that joy by showing you a few video clips. This is a montage of four different musical selections that I'm going to chat about it just a little bit. Yeah. I know it's always a bad time if you have to explain a video clip, but in this case, you'll forgive me for that. The first clip is what happened at Macy's department store in New York. Many of you have seen it, I'm sure. 2 years ago, the New York Philharmonic Choir and Orchestra set up incognito at Macy's during the week, and then they surprised all the shoppers there by breaking forth in the Hallelujah chorus. And some people get it and they caught up, and so we'll play a little clip of that. And then I have a little pipe organ rendition of Joy to the World. And when I told my coffee buddy I had a little pipe organ segment, he said, well, that reminds me of the reader board that he saw at a church. Has big bold letters of the sermon title. And the sermon title that week was, Do You Know What Help Is? And then on the bottom line, there's a permanent line that says, Come Hear Our Church Organist.
Sure.
That's not my view of organism.
I'm playing the whole thing.
As far as I know, let's accuse me off.
Okay, that's the second clip. Then
we're describing each clip, so I'm assuming we're playing.
A short song, a beautiful song, which reminds us not to overcomplicate things at Christmas. Keep it simple. And there's beauty in simplicity. I hope you'll see that in the third little segment. And then finally, we finish with a blast of joy. So that's my video, and hopefully it will call us to joy.
Let us receive.
joy and singing and music goes together. Let me connect the Hallelujah chorus, Handel's Hallelujah chorus, with the lyrics of Joy to the World. The lyrics of Joy to the World were written by Isaac Watts, who lived 1674 to 1748. And he's a famous Englishman, a clergyman, a theologian, and a pastor. And he's credited with writing over 700 hymns. So he was, some of the hymns I grew up singing, and they'll ring familiar to you. Hymns like, Come ye that love the Lord, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. When I survey the wondrous cross, I sing the mighty power of God. O God, our help in ages past. Those are just a few of the many hymns that that Isaac Watts sang. And so he wrote the lyrics of Joy to the World. And so you can see the contrast with last week's carol that Wayne was talking about, O Holy Night. The lyrics of that song were written by a pagan bartender who had absolutely no ecclesiastical credentials. But it goes to show that God can use anyone. No one is beyond being used for God's purposes. So the lyrics of Joy to the World are by Isaac Watts, the famous theologian pastor, but the music was written by none other than George Friedrich Handel, whose signature work was Handel's Messiah, and included with the Hallelujah chorus. And so I was thinking, there's a reason why some songs last for hundreds of years. They were written by the world's best writers and musicians, and have blessed generations since then. And so we have this the carol, Joy to the World, and I kind of copied Wayne in his style. He kind of used the phrase of last week carol, and so I said, well, I want to be like Wayne. So I took this song, Joy to the World, and I looked at it and said, what could I preach from this? And you know, sermons are always just scratching the surface. You can't exhaust every line of a song or every line of a Bible passage. So this is what popped out of that carol for me as I was preparing. The first one, sources of joy. What are the sources of joy that God wants us to have? First of all, there is the joy of coming to the end of waiting. You know, when there's a positive resolution to something you're waiting for, it brings joy. You know, all of us can relate to the anxiety and the tension of waiting for something. Maybe you've applied for a job and you're waiting for the phone to ring. Maybe you've had a medical test and you're waiting for the result. Maybe a family member is in surgery and you're waiting for the call to see how the surgery went. And when there is a favorable resolution to waiting, it brings joy. Made me think of examples in my life when a period of waiting was resolved in a favorable way and there was joy. I remember waiting for the silence to end after I asked the question, Diane, will you marry me? And when she gave that confident yes, it filled me with joy. And 45 years later, my eyes mist over when I think of how well that turned out. Yes, a resolution, when you've been waiting for something, and there's a favorable round of the resolution, it brings joy. God wants every one of us today to celebrate that joy. All of us have had something we've been waiting for, and God came through for us. Let's relive that. Let's stir that up. And let's not be overwhelmed. Maybe you're waiting for something right now, and this is a painful moment for you. Well, God is there, and God will vindicate you in due course. And sometimes there's the period, but God wants us to have, to experience that the joy of a resolution of waiting. The people of God, the Christmas story is The people of God have been waiting for thousands of years for the Messiah. It was the dream of every godly mother that she would bear the Messiah that would be her child. And so when the shepherds heard the message of the angels, I bring you good news which will bring great joy to everyone. It was the end of that wait. God wants us to be thankful for ways of waiting. There is, of course, the spiritual application that the coming of Jesus ushered in a whole new covenant. So we do not have to wait to have a right relationship with God. We don't have to make sure that our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, or that we have to perform some complicated ceremonial acts. We don't have to wait for a priest to preside. All of us have direct access to God. No waiting there. If there's something wrong with our relationship with God, we don't have to wait. We can go directly to God and receive that forgiveness. And what a joy that is. And so we celebrate that spiritually we have been freed, and the end of waiting for the age of grace to come, it is celebrated in Christmas. So there is the joy of that comes from the end of waiting. The second joy, I think, that I see here is the joy of having pain assuaged, brokenness restored, and mistakes erased. I know it's a long sentence. You know, I wrote that down, and I was going to choose one of them, but then after I'd written them down, I liked them so much, I left them all in there. Pain assuaged, brokenness restored, mistakes erased. What does the carol say? The carol says, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse was found. To Matthew the angel said, you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And when God saves us from sin, then pain is assuaged. The pain of guilt, the pain of shame. Brokenness is restored with him, and it opens up interpersonal relationship of healing. And the mistakes are erased because our sins are covered. You know, we've all made mistakes and wish we could do a do-over. You know, sometimes even insignificant mistakes illustrate the point. And I was thinking of, there are times I made the mistake, I bought something that I shouldn't have bought. I really couldn't afford to buy it, and I didn't need it, and I just couldn't explain it to Diane why I bought it, and you feel awful about it, right? And every once in a while I had the wisdom and the courage to pick it up and go back to the store. I love Costco. They're so good, right? Bring it back. Get a refund. Man, I've been walking out of there with my refund check, just happy like a child for Christmas. Because a mistake had been erased and corrected. I didn't have to worry about it. I had the money, and I knew there'd be a smile on Diane's face. And so, when a mistake is corrected, is erased, it brings joy. Well, that's kind of a frivolous example, but there are other ones. And there's a word. Significant one that popped in my mind, and I somewhat hesitate to use this illustration because I feel like I'm piling on to a poor guy that's already suffered enough. I was thinking of David Petraeus. He was in the news, the Army General, who was until recently the highly regarded Army General in the U.S. Army, retired from the Army, and then got to be the head of the CIA. And he's only months into the job as CIA, which he said was the best job he ever had. And he resigned because it came to light that he had an affair with his biographer. And I use this as an illustration, not at all malicious. I feel sorry for when people get, when they get that kind of media attention on their mistakes. And he did. And so I was thinking, well, how would the message of Christmas affect him? And I say, there's good news for David Petraeus. Yes, when he did admit that he made a bad mistake. And I don't know what his relationship is with regard to Jesus and the church. But if David Petraeus just finds forgiveness of God, his pain will be assuaged. the guilt can be taken away. And the broken relationships have the potential of being restored. And I take it his marriage is managed to survive so far. And he can start a new life and rebuilding it, because there is forgiveness. That's the message of Christmas. That God, no matter how big our mistakes, how much shame and guilt we may feel about it, we come to him, he assuages the pain, takes the guilt away, because Jesus paid it all. And we did, folks, the message of Christmas cannot be divorced from the message of the cross. Because Jesus came to bring us the forgiveness. And so, you know, and when we confess and receive his forgiveness, the worst consequences of that sin are removed. The worst consequences of sin are eternal consequences. They are removed. Now, not all natural consequences are removed. And David Perez forfeited his jaw. But even the natural consequences are mitigated when we receive the forgiveness that God offers and have the joy of having pain assuaged, brokenness restored, and mistakes erased. God wants us to have that. And no matter how big our mistakes, the shame can be erased and taken away. The guilt is gone. And God wants to restore to us a personal dignity, so that we can walk upright without feeling that we've ruined our life, and realizing that God gives us the ability to start over again and to start rebuilding. That's part of the joy of Christmas, and every one of us can celebrate that aspect. Thirdly, there is the joy of aesthetic beauty. There's a strong emphasis in this carol on nature. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. See, the carol reminds us that God created everything. And creation brings glory to God. And when we admire the beauty of creation, including the beauty of people, we are God's creation, and the gifts that that people have, it brings glory to God. Isaiah 65:18 says, "Be glad, rejoice forever in my creation." And so I think sometimes we define spirituality too narrowly. See, God is glorified in our life not only when we are reading the Bible or praying or sharing our faith or going to church. God is glorified when we enjoy the ordinary duties of life and dedicate our work to him and enjoy those duties and do it. If we do it in faith and as an act of love, he is glorified for it. And God wants us to delight in the beauties around us. A friend of mine is just bought a new car, and I was quite impressed by how delighted he is with his car. It's not the first time he's bought a new car, and on his budget buying a new car is really no big deal. But he has emailed all his friends his joy of some of the new features of his new car, and he said, just the greatest little moment with his new car. I emailed him yesterday and said, I'm preaching on joy, and I said, you've been an example to me of finding joy in the ordinary events of life, and I think that honors God. It brings glory to God. Well, he appreciated that kind of affirmation. You see, God wants us to have joy as we go about life. So in this Christmas season, my point is, let's make sure that we admire beauty around us. Listen, if some of you are going to admire a work of art, just say it, delight in it. A selection of music, or a person using their gifts, the personal, even athleticism. Now, some of us are hoping that Russell Wilson is going to have a good afternoon again today. He's the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. Two games in a row, he's had 50 or more points, which that doesn't happen often in the NFL. So the game's this afternoon, I think 5 o'clock this afternoon, if you want to tune in. I wouldn't want to overplay the bringing glory to God by watching sports, but I think it's possible. The athleticism, you know, God's creation, and how they've disciplined themselves, so I wouldn't rule it out. And I won't feel guilty if I catch a few snippets here and there, right, Diane? She's not here with me. So in this time, let's bring joy. You see a nice table laid out. Just see it in the beauty of God, God's creation, the giftedness. And thank God for it. And in the Christmas brings us a reminder of the joy of aesthetic beauty. And so let's admire art and architecture and whatever, you know, brings you joy. Dedicate it to God and connect with God through it. We read in Isaiah 65, be glad, rejoice forever in my creation. So let's not complicate our life of faith and our walk with Jesus. There's the beauty and joy in simplicity. The fourth point, I've come to the fourth point of my sermon, is there's the joy of feeling the wonders of God's love. He rules the earth with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. The joy, the wonders of his love. That led me to Romans 8:39. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. That's the wonders of his love. Can't be separated from it. And then I want to go to what I would say the highlight of any verse I read today is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Now, when have you last done devotions in Zephaniah? But it's interesting how from three different sources this verse came to me this week. It just confirmed that it's supposed to be in my sermon. Here's what Zephaniah 3:17 says. My wording might be slightly different, but not to worry. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is mighty. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. So that says he will rejoice over you with singing. But the NLT says he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. See, this is God singing over us with joyful songs. Now, I think that is profoundly touching. That God expressing his joy, his love. Now, when I thought of that, started meditating on this, God rejoicing, singing joyful songs over me, I was reminded of all those times when Diane was putting our children to sleep, to bed, when they were little. And she would sing songs to them. And they would love her. And they'd always say, sing another song. Sing another song. Because they knew as long as she's singing songs, she can't leave them, right? She stayed. And they didn't kill her, didn't want their mother to leave. So she's staying there singing songs. When she's singing songs, they feel comforted. They feel secure. They feel loved. And that's what God wants us to feel. He wants us to see his presence. He's right there. He's right there with us. God wants us to feel his love, his comfort. He wants us to feel the security of his presence. And what a beautiful thought that is. And our walk with God will always be deficient unless we break through to this concept of God. The God who loves us, rejoices over us, and delights in us. What a profound thought that is, and may God help us to have it. If you're here today and you may say, well, I've just never had that feeling, I would ask you to think about what are the obstacles that kind of keep you from having that view of God? Maybe somewhere in life you've been traumatized and somehow something happened and it's interrupted and prevented you from experiencing this joy. There's no doubt you would have to agree that when you feel God's presence, God delighting, it brings joy. Maybe something happened in your life that's interrupted it for you, and God wants to bring healing to that. Now, you may need to have a prayer group gathered around you, and it might take a series of walking with God, or therapy, or counseling, but I invite you to resolve, if you've not had that feeling of God, resolve here today that you want to break through that, so that you will be like a little child lying in the crib with the mother lovingly singing that hymn, that God is with you, and he wants you to have it. Maybe you have somehow, inadvertently, embraced a lie of Satan. The devil is a liar and a destroyer, and he wants to come and deceive us and interfere with our ability to enjoy the joy of having God's approval. Renounce it in the name of Jesus. And don't give up too quickly if it doesn't happen in one moment. Just say, that's the image of God. You see, this is the message of God. This isn't some positive thinking preacher using pop psychology to make everybody feel good. This is God speaking. This is God. He wants to have you have this warm feeling of being close to him as he sings songs over you. You know, as I was thinking about the joy we have, I was thinking about the contrast between happiness and joy, and Bill Bull is one of the authors that I sometimes read of Sherman Central, and he helped me to kind of clarify it and verbalize it, that happiness is related to what happens to us. But joy is something from within. Galatians, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And so with Jesus, when we invite Jesus, if we're followers of Jesus, we have joy. Joy is inside. If you have Jesus, you have joy. And it seems to me it's a tragedy to think that not every believer releases that joy. The good news is every believer has the joy. If you have Jesus, you have joy. And so how come some people don't express? I don't know why not, but God wants to release that joy. And I'm calling you today to make a decision, say, thank Jesus for the joy you have. Let's pray for forgiveness for not expressing it. We're missing out on so much. You know, the benefits of that joy, God wants us to experience in this Christmas season. If you have Jesus, you have joy. And that joy needs to be expressed and released. And God wants us to have it. As we close our service here today, I have been uniquely empowered today by the authorities in this church to close this service. We're not going to call the worship band back up here. We're going to close with a benediction and a prayer, and then we'll throw some music on the screen. But we'll have prayer stations. We'll have I think Kim is going to be over here, and Wayne, and I'll be over here, and not sure whether Kevin is going to be here, but Wayne and I, is Kim, are you available for prayer? If you've come today, maybe with a burden, maybe you just realize that you want God to help you release the joy in you, and you want to kind of get through those obstacles, come for prayer. We'd be happy to. It's a gift we can give you as a church to pray for you. And so don't hesitate. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to dismiss you. And then you can mill about. And if you want to come for prayer, just find Wayne, find me, find Kim, and we will be happy to pray for you. And so let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of joy that you bring to us. Forgive us for canceling out this joy and muting it by our lack of faith, our disobedience, and our sins. We open the door of our lives to experience your joy in full measure. Thank you for making this possible. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace and joy forevermore. Amen. May God be with you.